Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
I can too.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you sing it?
You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethea. And today's date is January 30th, 2019. And yes, you are a groundhog. If you are above ground, you do know that the hawk is alive and well. We're talking about something called climate change. It is now approximately 51 below zero in Chi-Town, which we know is Chicago. And as we begin to look at this Arctic blast as it comes down from the Antarctic through Canada into the U.S., we are bracing for a very, very frigid weather conditions all over the U.S. As we bring this portion of our show to you today, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America, and I'm your host, Ronald Bethea. And you know those who join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for our show. Is if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is the blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installations projects to bring down the under and unemployment numbers among our young African-American millennials locally and nationally. Also to utilize Black-owned farmlands and our historic Black colleges to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black radio talk show programs such as Solar Now in the Future. With its economic impact on Black America, this show is also sponsored by the Black Sports Legends Foundation. That's the Black Sports Legends Foundation. BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can find more information about that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. And we will have that link up and running again and very, very shortly on our website. As well as this program is also brought to you by Staten Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management. And with contact information, you can contact stottoncommunicationsnetwork.com. That's S-C-T-T-O-N, communicationsnetwork.com. Now, most of you who join us on a regular basis, you know that if you'd like to join us on this platform, you can do that simply by calling 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, we don't have any scheduled guests today, but we think we have some very, very exciting topics to discuss with our listening audience today. And our listening audience can join us by dialing 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you will be in our green room and we want to bring you right on into our program. Now, this topic of discussion today is always, it always should be, being that we live in the United States of America, which is a corporation, is follow the money. And the topic of our discussion today is the Department of Energy and Department of Energy fiscal year 2019 appropriations and renewable energy bill, public law 115-244. Now, we're going to look at this, and you can also look at the same information by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com, and you can click on our news and events link, and you can look at, scroll down to Department of Energy FY 2019 Appropriations and Renewable Energy Bill. This bill provides fiscal year 2019 appropriations for 3 of the 12 regular fiscal year appropriations bill. This review focuses on the Department of Energy Appropriations Act of 2019. Now, these are the highlights: congressional appropriations for the 4 renewable geothermal, solar, water, wind is $527.5 million, and an increase of 1.5% over fiscal year 2018, a 66% greater than the president's 2019 request at $175 million in Table 1. Now, these are overrides and things that Congress had, your legislatures have done, because they were going to do a major 45 was going to do a job on the Department of Energy's budget. But Congress did restore the funding, full funding for this. In general, Congress gave a 14% increase to the Department of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Programs for fiscal year 2019. We're talking about $2,379 million. That is in Table 2 compared to the actual money that was spent in 2018 of $204 billion. This is the appropriations from Congress just for the Department of Energy's renewable energy efficiency programs. Now, as we began to look at what does these numbers mean to the black community, well, I will tell you, when we began to look at the number of African American solar owned installation companies
as we began to look at the number of African-owned solar developers, not a hell of a lot. Our numbers are still very, very alarming and disgraceful. The Solar Industry Trade Association, SEIA, and I'm going to get into this later on into our show, Mrs. Abigail Harper, who's their director, they've made an attempt to go to our historically black colleges and universities, and they're talking about creating job fairs to give our young African Americans attending our HBCUs an opportunity for job interviews by white-owned companies. Our leadership at our historically black colleges and universities have totally missed the mark on this, because the number one resource in any country is land. And as we began to look at the physical plants where our historically 101 black colleges and universities are located, and that's down because we've lost several of our HBCs over the last couple of years, because there were up to as many as 112 schools that dropped down to 106, 104. Now we're at 101. Now, most of you are aware of what's going on at Bennett College down in, as all women's HBCU located in Greensboro, North Carolina. They're having financial difficulties, as well as a number of our HBCUs are having a lot of financial difficulties. But it's amazing to me when we began to look at the funding that's come through the Department of Energy and through the federal government, and when we began to look at the potential that and opportunities that our black college presidents have basically blown, because they have not and did not seize the opportunity to build large-scale solar farms on their campuses, only have right now the University of Maryland Eastern Shore built a 17-acre farm. I don't know the actual acreage for the University of Virgin Islands, the farm that was built there, but this is a 17-acre farm at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. Even though the campus sits on 800 acres of land, they own Dr. Thompson, at that time, who was the provost at UMES, they, in fact, built a 17-acre solar farm. I traveled down and spoke with Professor Dunn, the head of the School of Engineering at UMES, and we talked about setting up possibly some workforce development training programs. All of this has been incorporated through an organization called the HBCU Coalition, which is headed by a gentleman by the name of Ron Butler out of Miami, Florida. We, in fact, went to Dr. Neil Lomax at the United Negro College Fund here in Washington, D.C. back in 2015. We presented the outline, and now everything is history. We never got a response from Leslie Bastaville or Lomax, nor a meeting. But we understand how our so-called leadership at our HBCUs, their egos don't allow them to listen to anybody but each other, and that's the problem. You don't know it all, even though you have these initials behind your name. And without the communities that you are physically located in, understanding the process, legislative process on the local level, and how advocacy organizations need to be formed on our HBCU campuses to deal around public policy, such as the Omnibus Act of 2018, which was passed here in Washington, D.C. by the D.C. Council on December 18, 2018. It was passed by the City Council on January 18, 2018, 30 days later. After it went on the Federal Register, it was signed into law. Now, the District of Columbia has one of the most aggressive renewable portfolio standard laws in the country, which is a 10% carve out for solar in renewable energy. And this must come from the physical landmass of the District of Columbia. Well, if you've been following this show, you know I have beat the drum around the issue of the passing of this bill and what it actually means. Now, what it really, really means is from 2014 to 16, when the initial legislation got signed into law by Mary Bowser, who's the mayor of Washington, D.C., in July of 2016, she signed the first renewable portfolio standard law requiring 50% renewable by year 2032. And in doing so, it had a 5% carve-out. Well, we have an issue. The issue is, most African Americans cannot afford, who are working class folks who live in the District of Columbia, cannot afford to put a PV system or solar system on the top of their roofs. Because before you can do the install that system, you also have to have that roof repaired. That is additional expenditures that must be taking in consideration, as well as electrical wiring, in which is fixed cost in the process. And that is the responsibility of the homeowner in most 99.9% of these situations. And most of the solar installation companies, they aren't going to deal with your roof. They can inspect it. They can tell you whether it needs repair, and most of them will move on if your roof is not in good repair, without question. So these are issues that play out locally and nationally. So because there was a shortfall of DC-based solar in the district in 2016, according to the testimony of the former head chair of the Public Service Commission here in Washington, D.C., Ms. Betty Ann Kane, she has now been replaced by Mr. Willie Phillips, who took the mantle on December 18, 2018. She stepped down. She was a war horse on this issue that the District of Columbia has had a shortfall of $15 million. Now, under the Renewable Portfolio Standard Law, the local utility, which here in Washington, D.C., is Pepco, cannot purchase the certificates, they're known as extracts, from their customer base. That means those ratepayers who have installed solar on their homes for all of the energy that their systems generate, we have what we call smart meter legislation in place. These meters will dictate and tell Pepco how much energy that system generates, and the energy that is not used by the homeowner goes back into the grid. So that meter turns backwards. You're credited for that. Well, those credits have a monetary value. In Washington, D.C., they're trading over $300 per kilowatt hour, which is a very, very significant and some of the highest in the country. So this has created a shortfall. And with Pepco was fined by the D.C. government $15 million. Well, Pepco wrote the check. But guess who ended up paying? The way the legislation is written, those compliance fees are able to be passed on to their ratepayers. So when people get their electric bills in the District of Columbia, based on the 50% renewable portfolio standard law that was in place and now has been replaced by the new Omnibus Act of 2018, in 2006-15, they paid $15 million extra for energy. In 2017, that number jumped to $26.5 million. Now, even though that's spread across the board, it has an impact on the black community more adversely because we know about the something called the division of wealth in America, which is rooted in institutional racism and economic racism, redlining, and a whole bunch of other issues that go on not just here in the nation's capital, but it goes on all over the United States of America. Now, this show, we make it very, very plain to our listening audience as to why you need to listen to this program. So when we begin to look at the millions of dollars in funding that's being allocated through the Department of Energy and Environment, and we begin to look at how these budgets are set up. Now, let me go forward with continuing to talk about this funding for fiscal year 2019. As I said, in general, Congress gave up a 14% increase to the Department of Energy's Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Program. It's called the EERE program for fiscal year 2019. The total amount is $2,379,000,000 for this particular program. When we look at solar, it was broken out $241,066,000 for fiscal year 2019. When 92,330,000 water, 105,445,000 geothermal, 80,930,000 totals 519,175,000 of your tax dollars that have been allocated to the Department of Energy for programs to fund renewable energy programs for fiscal year 2019. Now, H.R. 5895, Division A, Title III, Department of Energy, Table 2, Fiscal Year 2019 Appropriations, Bill H.R. 95, Public Law 1122. This was passed on September 21st, 2018. Now, these are some of the few budgets that got passed before the shutdown. And as I indicated, energy efficiency and renewable energy programs, $2,379,000,000. Cybersecurity, emergency response, $120 million. Electricity delivery, $156 million. Nuclear energy, $1.326 billion. fossil research and development, $740 million. Northeast Home Heating Oil Reserve, $10 million. Energy Information Administration, $125 million. Science, $6.585 billion. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, $369.9 million. Advanced Technology Vehicles, $5 million. Innovation Technology Loan Guaranteed Programs, $33 million. Below is the relevant part of the public reference report for H.R. 5895, describing specific directions from Congress to the Department of Energy programs. Now, I have just given you an outline of how much money is going into the Department of Energy for renewable energy programs in this country. Well, why is there no more than out of over 9,000 solar installation and development companies in this country doing business, less than 30 African-American-owned firms? Why is there only one African-American-owned hydrogenetics firm? Now, these are questions we have to ask ourselves as a black community when we begin to look at all of the small business development centers that are at our historically black colleges and universities, all of our people in business. We are over 40 million strong in this country, but nothing concedes anything without a demand. If you don't have the right information to go to your local federal legislators and say, this is what we want, this is what we demand, you get absolutely what we are getting, nothing in return for these surcharges that we will see on our gas and electric bills. In the District of Columbia, with the passing of the Omnibus Act of 2018, it has triggered the financing of the what they call the Green Bank. Tommy Wells, who is the director of the Department of Energy and Environment here in Washington, D.C., you know, he came on my show once. I'm not going to beg people to come on my show because they're not doing me a favor. I'm doing them a favor because this platform provides a voice to reach the black community where they can get information on energy, because everything starts and ends with energy. We, as black folks, spend a lot of time talking about our heritage, culture, and motherland, which is Africa, those nations in Africa. We talk about all of the issues of why these countries are referred to as undeveloped countries, even though they're some of the richest countries on the planet as relates to natural resources and minerals. Fact of the matter is, if you don't have the energy and the grid infrastructure for manufacturing, you got nothing. This is a discussion that needs to be talked about because the models can be built right here in the United States of America. Now, yours truly, I have been working very, very hard and very, very long at putting together this website, putting together this platform. And as I've indicated to you, most of you know we have a GoFundMe campaign. I will have that link up, reconnected to our website. It's called the HBCU Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you are listening to as we speak now through the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We are streaming over Facebook and Twitter. And as I promised, I will deliver on that promise. We will be YouTubing this platform in the very, very near future. Now, when we began to look at what does this mean in terms of how does this benefit the black community? Well, it doesn't benefit the black community. It takes money out, but what's coming back in? And that is what we have been working around through our cooperative, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, trying to bring all of our African-American-owned solar installation and development companies together under a set of goals and objectives so that we can put together a platform that can be taken to organizations such as the American Association of Blacks in Energy and asking for more input on their platforms and their meetings as they're interacting, because they're the ones who work in the energy industry. They know what's going on. They see the lack of return in the black community. Now, there's not a lot of people in this country talking about equity in this arena. And that is one of the issues that has to be at the forefront when we begin to look at what is going on as it relates to all of these billions of dollars being appropriated annually going out across this nation to colleges and universities for research and development. And we have very little activity going on as it relates to this on our HBCU campuses. And I'm going to give you the organization that was started that is supposed to be working with the Solar Industry Trade Association, SITA, to deal with this issue. Now, when we began to look at the HBCU Community Development Action Coalition, which they refer to themselves, which is headed by Mr. Ron Butler, and you have the board of directors for this organization, and it is structured in such a way that they have gone into the Department of Energy and they signed a memorandum of understanding with MODSE, which was the Secretary of the Department of Energy under Obama's administration, which was the last thing that was actually done. Now, the CEO of this particular organization is a gentleman by the name I indicated, Mr. Ron Butler. Then we have the COO, Mr. Henry Gallott, Ms. Letitia Campbell, Chief Strategist, Danielle Linkovich, National Initiatives Director, and Ray Harris, Social Media Manager. Now, this organization, the community, HBU Community Development Coalition, promotes and supports and advocates for historically black colleges and minority-serving institutions, MSIs, Community Development Corporations, CDCs, and Community Economic Development Industry, whose work supposed to create wealth, build healthy and sustainable community, and achieve lasting economic viability. The HBCU CADA fulfills its mission for service to its members working in disinvested urban and rural communities throughout through education, resource development, advocacy, networking, and training. The coalition will provide a collaboration of opportunities, value-added services, and group benefits responsive to the interests and the needs of our board members by establishing professional standards, core competencies, improving skills of the CED practitioners, and recruiting and retaining talented individuals in the industry. Now, as brother who comes on the airways of WPFW can say, this is a sounds like a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Okay, let's look at what the HBCU Community Development Coalition's Clean Energy Initiative is. The Clean Energy CDAC, administered by the HBCU Energy Coalition, is in partnership with the U.S. Department of Energy. This is an outgrowth of a conversation started at the coalition's Opportunities of Innovation Energy Summit in early 2016. Yeah, I know. But you need to go to our archives on the Positive Change website and look at our archives and make sure that you scroll down to January of 2018, and you will see where this actually came from. The conversation didn't start there. We're actually talking about not January 18, we're talking about January 17, 2018. And you can scroll down and you'll be able to look at the information of where the HBCU coalition actually came from, and it didn't come from there. So we want to correct the record, because folks like to take information and put out misinformation, and what we want to do is correct the historical record from this platform, Solar Now in the Future. It's called Where the HBCU Clean Energy Consortium Concept Really Came From and Why a Few HBCU Presidents Are Meeting with Trump. This is a letter that was written on May 5th, 2011 to Mr. Melvin S. Hollis, Junior Associate Director, White House Initiative on HBCUs, 400 Maryland Avenue, Southwest, Suite 4C, 122, Washington, D.C., 20202. Dear Mr. Hollis, on behalf of ARS Energy, Inc., we are pleased to announce the completion of the evaluation of a proposal for the Race to the Top initiative for energy security for HBCUs. ARS is an energy received proposals from Alabama State University, Tuskegee University, FAMU, Clark University, that's Florida A&M University. Who don't know what FAMU means, that's Florida A&M University in Tallahassee. Go Rattlers, okay? And Clark of Atlanta University. This letter serves as a notification to your office to the status of our evaluations. The purpose was to undertake, after I, as a representative of ARS Energy, made a public statement at the White House Initiative on HBCU board meeting this past March in Washington, D.C. After my statement, I spoke with you and discuss how this type of initiative might be funded and what your office would need to consider in assisting ARS Energy in identifying funding resources for such an initiative. ARS has never represented that the White House initiative on HBCUs was a sponsor or endorsed this initiative. While this is an initiative that ARS Energy believes can play a critical role in the energy security of our nation, this letter does not commit either the White House initiative on HBCUs, the Department of Energy, or any other federal agencies that ARS representatives have discussed this initiative with in reference to the race to the top for energy security at HBCUs. The schools were required to develop specific proposals that address potential cost-saving revenue opportunities, along with the number of business and jobs created within the communities. Based on the independent panel's evaluation report, both Alabama State University received a 95% and FAMU received a 94.6.7% ranked in the higher qualified project categories. We requested an amount for these two schools to total $8.82 million. The panel further ranked Tuskegee University at an 82.5% and Clark University at 78.3% as qualified projects, although two schools met the criteria in being highly qualified. I believe the institutions have the ability to meet all of the R2TT criteria with some guidance and monitoring from ARS Energy as the PMO. We would work with the schools in providing the necessary management guidance and assistance. The universities in the meeting with their fullest to meet their fullest potential with the R2TT. Moreover, we have the opportunity to help these schools focus on jobs, business creations, and assist the schools in meeting the economic drivers for campus sustainability. Finally, our firm needs your support to help fund this historic pilot initiative by embracing this unique initiative for HBCUs that will be able to reduce energy costs, commission renewable energy systems, manufacture and sell biodiesel, and create new business and jobs within their communities. As the nation moves towards renewable energy, the HBCU can play an important part in winning the future for the nation. For review, I have enclosed proposals 1, number 2, letters of the proposal. Number 3, bio and support letters from the independent panel. Number 4, the evaluation summaries. Number 5, ARS support letter. The university's presidents and their project managers have an urgency to implement these initiatives starting July 1st. ARS representative would like to schedule a meeting with your office at the Department of Energy and the Office of Economic Impact and Diversity. Representatives at ARS will meet and share the idea of this initiative with Jamie Shapiro and Chester Scott within the office last month. We met and shared the idea with Jamie Shapiro and Chester Scott in their offices last month. As soon as possible, discuss the final evaluations and funding opportunities for proposal projects. I will contact your office no later than May 9th to follow up on this important initiative. Sincerely, Dr. Damian Strawn, Managing Partner. Okay? the BSHBCU Solar Initiative Project Introduction Rationale to Address Economic Effects of High Energy Costs at Our HBCUs. To utilize Black-owned farmlands at HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installations to bring down the under- and unemployment numbers of young African-American men and women. To create capacity for the utilization of renewable energy for Black American-owned farmlands, institutions, hospitals, municipalities, and universities by training young people locally and nationally from the diaspora and visiting students and athletes to target the 106 historic universities to become NABCET continuing education certificate training providers through their continuing education and workforce development program, working in conjunction with Kaplan University of El Paso, Texas, to provide online training in their local marketplaces for interested candidates to encourage HBCUs with workforce development programs to work in conjunction with solar companies in their marketplaces to help them develop leadership training programs for individuals successfully completing the NABCET Continuing Education Workforce Development Training Programs. To encourage HBCU Small Business Development Centers to help identify students majoring in business administration at our HBCUs to help local solar companies write proposals targeting local and federal grants to develop training programs, reducing the time and resources needed for smaller solar companies in their marketplaces to compete and complete the application process for grants. To encourage HBCUs to enter into more public-private partnership with solar companies and private investment companies to set up more solar farms on historically Black farmlands and HBCU campuses nationally. To encourage HBCUs with schools of business and communications and engineering to develop better working relationships with local solar companies in their area to develop local advertising campaigns to target Black-owned American communities to get the word out on programs such as the Energy Smart Pro, Solar Advantage Plus program and the Solar for All program such as exists here in the District of Columbia. To leverage current Department of Energy grants to certify the under- and unemployment use. At present, there are two prime examples of solar farms, which was the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, which I spoke about a little earlier, and the University of Virgin Islands. We now have Bowie State University, which is located in Bowie, Maryland, right outside of our nation's capital between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, Maryland. And Bowie State is a member of the what we call the CIAA conference, and they have just built a 7-acre solar farm with some land-based farms with several acres and with rooftops. So that is it. But I just wrote to you an article, which my company, as well as Mr. Damien Strawn, who is an African-American solar development company, which our organization works with all of the African-American solar companies in America. And we have also reached out to these companies to become a part of the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative to move these initiatives forward. But I don't have to tell anyone about the lack of support that we receive, about the lack of creativity that comes from a lot of I would call historically black colleges and universities as it relates to them wanting and being willing to work with their own businesses at their institutions. Now, this becomes a major issue because our historically black colleges and universities, their most valuable resources after we look at their students, after their students, is the physical land that they sit on. They're not, nobody's making any more land and no more land grant legislation. All this stuff was done back in the 1800s. We are where we are today because we've got people who want to have titles, who want to seize the so-called opportunity, but you cannot leave behind the companies. These companies are developers. They have all of their I's dotted, T's crossed, and they can go out and get funding. I will not give the name of the organization, but I met with a company that has $300 million to invest in large-scale solar projects all over this nation. I have reached out time and time again to our HBCUs to work with some of our local schools. I was working on a project with Howard University, with Dr. Harris, who heads the, he's the dean of the graduate school at Howard University. And we were working on a project here in the Washington DMV market area because Howard University and the University of the District of Columbia has 274 acres of land, which is located in Beltsville, Maryland, the campus there, which basically is undeveloped and nobody's doing anything with it. And we want and have proposed that UDC and Howard University partner in building a megawatt, 20 to 50 megawatt solar farm on portions of that land. They don't even need to use all the land to be able to offset their energy costs when you look at their physical campuses and the rooftops on their physical buildings that they have in their physical plant, as well as this particular project. We've done our due diligence around this issue, and it came right down to not being able, I haven't been able to get Dr. Frederick and Dr. Mason together in the same room to discuss this issue. But these are the type of things that I'm talking about. If the HBCU coalition was real serious about this, just having job fairs on our campuses, having white companies come in to give job interviews to our young men and women who are graduating from our HBCUs is simply not enough. Now, there is responsibility on the behalf of those solar African-American solar installation companies. They never seem to have enough time to want to come together around any issues. And a lot of them, and I know that Mr. Strawn at ARS Energy Inc. has, I don't blame him, I would have a bitter taste in my mouth too. But I've learned over the years, when you're trying to work with us because of the mindset of our people and the social engineering of our people, those who are in positions of power, such as our black college presidents, these folks get played somewhat, but only, I'm going to make it plain, ego trip. You have nothing to ego trip about. You have to have another way to raise money to keep the doors of these institutions open. This industry is getting ready to explode. I have put together a business plan outline for developing a large megawatt utility scale prolific power plant with mixed land use business model for Black American owned farmlands and HBCU campuses. I have sent this to one of our HBCUs. I will not name that HBCU right now. I'm still reaching out. We have one of our solar installation development companies that is interesting in going down and meeting with their economic development person, putting together a proposal for this particular HBCU. But we have to look at what is going on in our environment. You just heard me talk about the billions of dollars that's coming out of the Department of Energy. Well, in the new farm bill that has just been passed by the Department of Agriculture, for the Department of Agriculture, there has been about $160 million put in for industrial hemp research, because now the industrial hemp is legal in all 50 states. Now, what we have proposed is building a 40-acre megawatt solar farm on, whether it be historically Black college or Black-owned farmland. I have right now three clients who families own over, we're talking about over 400 acres of land in different states. One of these projects will go place as in Texas, one in South Carolina, one and two in North Carolina. And when we began to look at phasing in this, we are looking at building a 40-acre, 20-watt utility-scale PV plant as a future long-term income generator based on 3 to 5 cents per megawatt hour being sold to utility providers with greater income potential by identifying off-takers, targeted industry, takers such as the cannabis industry and the tech industry. Taking advantage of the 2018 Farm Bill passed by Congress, that now industrial hemp can be legally grown in all 50 states. In our mixed land use business plan, we will talk about the cultivation of at least 25 acres to 50 acres of industrial hemp, which will be projected more attractive for financing for the Rural Energy America Energy Program, REAP program, coming out of the Department of Agriculture. Now, who can apply? Agricultural producers with at least 50% of gross income coming from agricultural operations. Small businesses in eligible rural areas. The key for developing this solar project will be well established, yet there is no definite details roadmaps. There are steps that have to be taken before you even talk about building a solar plant. Concept development, site identification, pre-feasibility study, feasibility study, permitting, financing, and contracting, engineering, construction, and commercial operations. This has to be done by a solar development company. Our developers can go get the money from the financing entities. If our institutions, if the leadership has any sense at all, they will partnership with these African-American companies. They can't go and get the money. Neither do they have the expertise or physical infrastructure or staffing to even undertake these projects. They are going to contract this out. Why do they have to go to white-owned companies? These are issues that need to be addressed by Mr. Ron Butler, by the HBCU Coalition, by the White House Initiative on HBCUs. We have to get serious, folks. This is too much money coming out of these agencies. We're talking about everything is tied into this. You're talking about artificial intelligence. You're talking about cybersecurity. All of these are tied into the development of these large-scale plants. Nobody's walking around guarding these large-scale solar farms. They've got drones flying over these facilities 24/7. This is the way for us to create real wealth, where our institutions can become energy producers and not just energy users. They have the opportunity, but they need to get in contact with who? This gentleman behind the mic, yours truly. I've been asked, well, we'd like to pick your brain, but it's not free. Nothing's free. It amazes me how historically black colleges and universities will come to an African-American-owned company and want them to do something for nothing, and then turn around and give contracts to white companies that care absolutely nothing about those students who walk across those campuses. I am alumnus of Morgan State University. I am a product. I'm in the pipeline. I have relationships with alumnus who attended the HBCUs all over the country. And these are issues that exist. This is real. Now, on July of last year, 2018, the HBCU Coalition came to Baltimore with a summit. They had Department of DOE, agriculture there. The young lady from agriculture came in, a sister, dynamic young sister, who talked about the funding and the opportunities that her agency had for our HBCUs. None of them had any damn initiatives. Not one was building a major scale solar farm. There are initiatives going on. I've met with the vice president of PEPCO here in Washington, D.C., Dr. Harris, Dr. Lillian Abrams, of peer consultants. We sat down at Howard University and talked about developing a program for Howard University. But the administration got to make a decision, and they need to partner with the University of the District of Columbia. And I know Dr. Frederick and Mason to be reasonable men. So I'm not going to put a cloud over all of our HBCU presidents, but you got some folks you can't talk to. Some folks, and I'm not going to name those presidents, because we got one at my alma mater, and I'm a Morgan State University alumnus, so I ain't got no problem with saying that. On the airways, David Wilson has some issues. We're working with his own. When we get these presidents that's come out of white-owned institutions and worked at these white institutions, when they come to black institutions, they deal with their alumni who come out of the institutions that they're overseeing as though we're the enemy. I sat in that meeting, and I made sure that Mrs. Coretta Bennett of Biff Energy, who is one of the most dynamic African-American sisters in the United States of America, and what she does. She's the day-to-day CEO, operational manager for Biff Energy, which has built the only large-scale solar farm on black-owned farmland in the United States of America. It's called Nixon Farm, located in Howard County, outside of between Baltimore and Washington, D.C.
Our people don't know it. Very few of our people know that the Nixon Farm even exists. And if they rode by it, they would not know that African-American Solar Development Company built that that large-scale plant. We have the people. We have the knowledge. We have the expertise. How do we bring this together? Well, that is what this Positive Change Purchasing Soil Coalition mission is. We are a cooperative. We've asked everybody to come under the umbrella. Our membership is very, very reasonable to talk about how do we move forward with these initiatives. It's been too many of these billions and millions of dollars going out to white universities and colleges and universities, and our small African-American solar installation companies, even though they may be doing well as a small company, they cannot grow with small projects. And we turn around and talk about why we don't have anything. Now, I need this program to be heard at our historically black college radio stations and universities, because people need to hear what I'm saying. Because what I'm saying, everybody got their own opinion, but everybody don't have their own facts. Now, I'm going to read to you what the, because the coalition, they're excellent in running around being able to sign and phone ops. These are the institutions that have joined the coalition: Benedict University in Columbia, South Carolina; Claflin University, Orangeburg, South Carolina; Coppin State University of Baltimore, Maryland; Florida Memorial University; Johnson C. Smith University, Charlotte, North Carolina; Morgan State, Baltimore, Maryland; Norfolk State, Norfolk, Virginia; Prairie View, Texas; Southern University, Newport and Shreveport, Louisiana; Tennessee State, Nashville; Texas Southern, Houston; University of Maryland, Eastern Shore; University of Virgin Islands. These are schools that have been signing up. They have been joining this coalition. That's great. See, myself nodded Mr. Damian Strawn, who came on this show and talked about this, as soon as that memorandum of understanding got signed over at DOE. We didn't get upset with these folks because we understand how folks deal. Everybody want to be out front. But just like the sun is up, well, the sun is up on this concept. It makes no difference. If you do not involve the companies, if you leave out our solar installation companies, this is why we only have, we got less than 30 in the country. Because they can hire our graduates. They can train our graduates. They can show them how to set up instruction companies so they can grow. You think white folks going to hire our graduates at their companies to come in and take over their companies? They might hire them to run a company to make money for them, but then are they going to hire them for them to own the company? That's not going to happen. We have to change the paradigm on how we look, how we think, and how we see things. And until we do that, we're going to be just where we are, with nothing, talking about our culture, talking about how great we were. Well, the future is now and the future. Our young people ain't going no place on this planet. Black folks ain't going nowhere. They're going to be here. Some are going to move. Some may get in and leave the country. But wherever you go, believe me, you're going to deal with this monster. It's called the United States of America and corporate America and their interests all over the planet. And believe me, it's got tentacles. So wherever you go, this country affects what you're doing there. Whether you like it or not.
Now, Ron Butler went on to say, we will explore, shape, and advance public policy positions that impact industry, support community development, and improve membership capacity to do the same. We will also maintain, expand the pool of financial and partnership resources available to support the operations of community-based development organizations and undertake community economic development, the HBCU CDA leadership offices. I'm not even going to get into reading who these people are, man, you know, because it's not necessary. But I am going to read this article. Washington, D.C., September 19, 2018. And we're going to get in this article as soon as we take what we call a pause for the cause. We're going to be right back here with this platform today, solely now in the future, with this economic impact on Black America. So, as we said, we'll take a pause.
Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And those who know and join us on a weekly basis, you know that this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies to address the economic effects of energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the underemployment and unemployment of our young African American millennials, locally and nationally. Also, to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black on Radio talk show programs such as Solar Now in the Future with this economic impact on Black America. It's also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends BSHBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And as I indicated, you'll be able to get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com and clicking on our GoFundMe link. Also by Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, Magazine production, online and traditional. Newspaper production, online and traditional. Speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, and speaker bureau management. And for contact information, you can contact ScottandCommunicationsNetwork.com. That's ScottandCommunicationsNetwork.com. Yes, yes, yes. Now, we have talked about this issue for some time on this platform. I mean, it's nothing new. We have beat the drum around the fact that we have to develop something other than a mindset of just asking people to employ our young people, because folks don't have jobs for themselves. Now, people are trying to reach me at the present time. If you're trying to reach me, you'll have to call me at 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, as we drill down on issues surrounding this, these issues on our historically black colleges and our historically black colleges and universities, it's almost criminal to think in this age and time that we don't look at and value our own businesses. When the, if you're not promoting entrepreneurial spirit and the growth of entrepreneurial spirit in our young people, where the hell are we started? What's the purpose of sending kids to school? Because the fact of the matter is there's thousands of jobs out here that need to be filled that you don't need a four-year degree for. Coding, cybersecurity, you don't need a four-year degree for that. And our schools, four-year schools, don't have to shut down for that. This is what we are proposing, that we utilize our campuses during the summer months for students to take these training courses, and they can pick up these certifications, and they can begin to work while they're still in school to help offset their tuition costs. But I'm talking to folks who seem not to understand or comprehend it, because they have a problem where not the message, but the messenger. Well, forget me. I'm not one individual. Forget me. But if what I'm saying to you makes sense, and I have a platform to bring people together to implement these programs, why can't you support it? It won't get supported if it's not coming from one of our HBCU presidents. Now, this was shared with me many years ago by the former vice president of the National Association of Equal Opportunity in Higher Education, who was like a second mother to me, because I've used to volunteer for NAPIO, Dr. Wilma Roscoe, and she said something to me that stuck with me, and I'll go to my grave with that. She said that the egos of our presidents don't allow them to listen to nobody but each other. So I've learned you got to find another way to try to communicate with them, and that is go get the folks who can get the money, and you bring the folks to the table with the resources, then you can talk to them. Because other than that, they're not trying to hear nothing you're talking about. And then they jump up and talk about, oh, the alumni from our HBCUs, they don't give back. They can't give back if they don't have no businesses to create wealth. You don't create wealth with a damn job in America.
We've been a labor force since we've been here. That didn't create wealth. You don't create wealth with a job. You create wealth by creating businesses that can be vertically integrated into an industry. This is a new paradigm shift in this country. The green industry. The green industry. It's a new paradigm shift. And I hope that we get it. But it don't seem like we're getting it, because when I read this article, September 19, 2018, press release, Washington, D.C. This is the same Solar Industry Trade Association that I reached out to Abigail Harper and their media folk to get her to come on my show to talk about the very embarrassing and dismal employment numbers of African Americans working in the solar industry. Nobody wanted to talk about that. Well, they're talking about 9%. They keep fudging the numbers up, talking about we got 9% in 2018. It was in 2009, it was in the energy industry, according to this report in the study that was put out by the American Association of Blacks in Energy. They did a report that said African Americans, we composed 1% of the jobs in energy. We had 0.8% of the wealth because we had no suppliers in the energy industry downline working in with corporate America in the energy industry. No suppliers. 0.8% of the wealth generated. This is the mentality. I'm going to read to you what this article says. With a goal of making the solar workforce and solar communities more diverse, the Solar Energy Industry Association, SEIA, and Historically Black Colleges and Universities Community Development Action Coalition have begun a new effort to increase recruitment of African American students into the industry. SEIA and HBCDU CDA have signed a memorandum of understanding to begin comprehensive efforts to help solar industry recruits and employ more students from the nation's 101 historically black colleges and universities. This will include hosting national job fairs, individual job fairs at HBCU's schools, and bringing solar companies for recruitment. Diversity and inclusion is one of our highest priorities, and while we've made progress, we still have a long way to go to make solar industry more accurately reflect the diversity of the communities we serve, said Abigail Harper, SEIA President and CEO. Those of us in the solar join this industry because we want to make the world better for all, which is why we're excited to partner with the CDA, tap into the talent at our HBCUs, and bring more of these students into the growing industry. As an outcome of the partnership, SEIA and the CDA will work with participating HBCUs to create database students pursuing clean energy degrees of these interested in working in solar that will be accessible by SEIA campuses. Both organizations will work with campuses representatives to foster resume exchanges and coordinate interviews among participating companies. As a national community of economic development intermediaries offering programs and activities that target HBCUs and their host communities, we are delighted to partner with SEIA, exposing HBCUs as well as their faculty and staff to opportunities in the solar and clean energy industry, said Ron Butler, CEO, with the ultimate goal of the community empowerment of economic resilience. We see diversity and inclusion in this growing industry
from all aspects, including the workforce, enterprise, and development. Now, why in the hell did in July, when y'all had this forum at Morgan State University, my alma mater, which I attended the meeting, why didn't y'all have one or several African-American solar development companies at the table? See, I'm going to shine the light on this garbage. This ain't enough. We need to be talking about how do we develop large-scale solar plants at our HBCUs. CDA CEO Henry Gallant committed that the clean energy both now and the foreseeable future is integral to our national economy and security. Now, I'm going to end this show shortly, so I'm not going to be able to go into any more detail at this present time, because I've got about 5 minutes. But I'm giving you the tone of this press release that was put out. This is about what they're talking about. You know, we're not angry with anyone. We're saying it's not enough. It's not enough if you're going to leave the African-American solar installation companies out of this thing. Our company should be growing twofold in this process. But no, that's not happening, because the folks at the helm at our HBCUs, this is how they see things. And white folks going to give you no more than what you ask for. And if you don't bring the companies to the table, then you don't know what the hell that you really need. Because they're the ones that got boots on the ground doing the training. They can go get the financing. Your schools can't. Now, we're going to switch gears and sort of talk about several other issues that needs to be talked about. Renewable energy transition, measuring progress. You need to go to our website at positivechangepc.com, click on our news and events tab, and you'll find a number of articles that we think that will serve to be very, very, very educational to you, our listening audience. And being that we only have a few minutes left, you know, we normally open our lines to our listening audience. But I'm going to talk about a few things under our news and events tab that our people need to really look at. You need to go to our website at positivechangepc.com, click on our news and events tab. You'll see grants and awards opportunities for the winter of 2019, which is coming out of the U.S. Council of Mayors, Mayors and Business Leaders Center on Inclusion and Compassion for Compassionate Cities. I'm just going to read: joint effort with the U.S. Conference of Mayors on the Center for Climate and Energy Solutions. You want to look at that article. Renewable Energy Transition Measuring Process, which we did not go into discussion that long. We need to look at that process. You can find the article that I was just reading from. See, HBCU Coalition joins national effort to increase diversity at historically black colleges and universities. Guide to minority-owned credit unions. Biles assigns historically clean energy bill. How will the shutdown is playing out in the solar and offshore wind. Florida Power and Light aims to install more solar panels than any other regulatory authority in 2019. Supreme Court should reject requests to do over on state clean energy programs. Utility dive team on power trends in 2019. Partnership with the Southern Equity Just Energy Academy program. These are just a few of the different programs that we have put together for your educational purposes. The information's on the World Wide Web at www.p PositiveChangePC.com. And when I have contacted, I'm not going to even name the name of the university. I contacted several HBCU radio stations in the local market area, and they were too trifling even to bring this show to their airways. And most of our HBCU campuses, the radio shows are NPR stations, so they're non-commercial stations, so I've got to get underwriters for this program. But if you're listening to this show and you hear the information that I'm providing and putting out there, I'm quite sure that you will know that this information is important. Because without creating entrepreneurs in this energy industry, black folk, we might as well stop talking about everything else. The energy. You can't even have a Super Bowl without energy. Everybody hollering about what Tom Brady going to do this weekend and what the Rams and the Patriots going to do down in Atlanta. They're going to play a football game. And if the Super Bowl is so super, why they play it every year? And I'm not buying that for one of the greatest running backs that ever played for the Dallas Cowboys. When he asked for some money from the Cowboys, they didn't want to pay this brother. And he said, well, if the Super Bowl is so super, why they play it every year? So we're going to end on that note. We hope that we definitely brought to you news that you can definitely use. Until next week.
Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you?
Sing it. You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.